Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be wrong to say every position's up for grabs. Like,
I know Henry's won this race a few times, but I haven't, and that's just an incredible race to win, yeah.
No fear at all, because the boss is the boss.
Winning Rossmann was never even on my radar.
Whoever dreamt anyone was going to get to 100 winners, it was just something that was unachievable.
We stood up, we showed our character like we do in every single game.
This is SportsBeat Extra on Beat.
I'm Aldrin Johnson and you're listening to SportsBeat Extra. We're doing something a little different on this week's show. Last week I travelled to Prague with Beat's very own Brian Griffin and David Bielitz to cheer on the boys in green. From chatting to fans in the lead up to the match and taking in all the atmosphere in the Czech capital, we decided to capture it all.
This is SportsBeat Extra.
It's just gone 5:30 on Wednesday the 25th of March 2026, and instead of making my way into the Beat studios for another day of work, I'm instead taking a bit of a different commute as I'm off to Prague for the Boys and Greens' huge World Cup playoff semi-final against Czechia.
Alright, see you later.
Okay, just make sure my door's
yeah.
I wouldn't be alone though as I met up with Beat's David Bielitz at Dublin Airport.
Hello.
How are you? What's the crack? I am absolutely wrecked. I'm tired. But it's a fabulous day and I'm buzzing.
Like a green tsunami, David and I packed into a sold-out flight to the Czech capital.
Cabin and main cabin doors are closing. Use your mobile phones and tablets in airplane or flight mode only. If your device does not have airplane or flight mode, it will be switched off now and removed to the duration of the flight.
Weren't the only media on the flight though, as coincidentally we bumped into Tipperary's very own two Johnnies.
Lads, on the way to Prague, how are you feeling?
Absolutely buzzing. Look, we're going to make some memories. Just a group of true friends having fun.
No, I'm absolutely wired, lads. I couldn't sleep last night with the excitement. I had to tiptoe around the attic last night getting the jerseys out. It's been a while since we had an excuse to get the jerseys out, so we're buzzing.
Lads, we're absolutely buzzing. You see the plane here, no one has tickets. The whole place is just going mental. They're going out. The big thing now is, where are we going to watch the match? Can we even get a seat in a pub? Never mind tickets to the game.
Well, what time were you on the road this morning, lads?
Johnny picked me up about 4:15.
I was late. It was supposed to be earlier now, in fairness. Slept it out. But look, we got here in the end. We bet through the snow and all up the road, and here we are.
You were over in Brentford recently.
Yeah.
Did you get any tips off the lads? How were they feeling?
Well, it was gas. We asked Nathan Collins, how are you feeling about the game? Do you think about it much? And he said, no. He's obviously got to concentrate on his club game, but he's like, sure, that's not for another 5 games. But at the same time, he knew off the top of his head how many games he had left. I reckon the boys are thinking about it. I hope they're psyched up, because we're all psyched up.
They said they haven't practiced penalties, so probably the last penalties that he's dealt with is against you.
Listen, I brought the boots just in case. It took me 3 penalties to get going, but eventually I got going.
He's on the extended panel.
I am available for a call-up. If they're looking last minute, anyone drops out, I'm available. Boots are packed.
You and Harvey Vale have the same amount of Ireland caps.
100%, there you go. You have to start somewhere, lads. Do you know what I mean? If they want to give me the call-up, I am ready, willing and waiting.
The atmosphere on the flight was incredible. As the plane finally touched down in Prague, Irish fans made themselves known. A quick Uber trip to the city centre, we began to make our way to our accommodation. Meet up with Brian Griffin, who'd flown out on Sunday.
You scouted out before us, didn't you?
So I went and saw everything. I literally saw all the tourist attractions in 2 days. I went to every single Irish pub to see what was busy. And I'm not going to lie, I don't need maps that much anymore. I'm after getting used to the city, which is pretty good, yeah. I know where I'm going.
Once we dropped off our bags, it was straight into the city centre, where Irish fans were already beginning to take over. As match day arrived, spirits were high. There was a real sense of excitement and anticipation around the Czech capital. And as we had spent the day before asking fans what they thought the score would be, it was only right that we put our own predictions out there.
With the Irish team there, they're on a great run of form at the minute. Like they beat Portugal, they beat Hungary, And I think in terms of just like the sheer spirit behind them, I think they could do it. Like, I really think an early goal, and then just making sure, just not letting it go. I think like maybe after 10 minutes we score and then just hold it for the rest of the game. Because I have every hope, but like everyone in Ireland has every hope. So we're all just praying, I think.
No, Ireland scoring early is never a great sign.
Yeah, I know. But I think like if we can just lash one in and just like have 10 players behind the ball for the rest of the game, right, that could be the play.
This is, okay, so prediction score-wise, what do you think score is going to be? Who do you think is going to score?
7-0.
Going to rattle off the scores now.
No, I think there's going to be like a goal from a corner. I think Nathan Collins is going to score a header, and then that's where we're going to hold. Because I know it's been Troy Pirates Central, but I feel like he'll be marked out of the game. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a corner set piece, getting contact with Arsenal's set piece coaches, and hopefully we'll get something from there.
I think it's going to be 1-1. I think it's going to go to extra time, and I think Ogbeni is going to score the winner.
God, I thought you were going to say we're going to lose.
No, I don't think we're going to lose.
Funnily enough, while the stadium had only allocated just over 1,000 tickets to Ireland fans, many more had proceeded to purchase tickets in the home end with hopes of witnessing history. I bumped into Wexford FC's Justin Finn and his son Shane a few hours before kickoff, who had recently purchased some black jackets in the hope of covering up their true allegiance when they entered the home end of the Fortuna Arena.
It's taken so long to get here, and now just cannot wait to be there tonight.
Feeling good. I've been looking at the TikToks and videos and just get goosebumps, and now you're so close to it, it's about time, like, you know, about time.
It's one of those moments, I suppose, if people are watching it at home, I feel like it's probably the first time in a long time people would have FOMO from an Ireland match, especially abroad. Like, I can't remember the last time we had something like this where Ireland fans probably have a bit of hope going into a game rather than a bit of misery and being surprised by it.
Oh, 100%. Like, I think we've been, look at the last couple of games, there have been so many positives come out of it. And I think, like, I do feel sorry for the people sitting at home, you know, that couldn't get tickets and that just couldn't get flights over. But yeah, I just can't wait for it.
I suppose you have tickets, you have elusive tickets that everyone seems to be looking after, but not in the away end. Tell me about how you got tickets in the home end.
A friend sent me a link and I went on to it. I think it was Vivago, I think is what it was, and went on, got the tickets, and just hope for the best, and hopefully they'll honour them and we'll be able to get in, you know.
Is this the first time you've been to an away game in the home end?
Yes.
What do you think is going to be the most difficult part of that experience?
Not celebrating. It's going to take a lot for me not to celebrate now.
Safe to say you're confident about tonight.
Confident. I'm hoping for a 2-1 win now.
Being here is just, like, I think it's amazing. Like, it's an amazing feeling. Like I said, Shane is here with me. It's his first proper away day, like, you know. And looking around, I've been to Poland in 2012. I was in there in France in 16. But the amount of new, younger fans, it's amazing. Like, you know, they've all just, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
The stage was now set, but one problem still remained. Where were we going to watch the match? With the big hitters like Dirty Nellies, the Dubliner and the Irish Times all booked out, we managed to cram ourselves onto a back street just outside the Golden Kettle pub to get a view of the match from the street.
Well, from Yerevan to Lisbon to Budapest, from a bleak potential early exit to the cusp of World Cup qualification, it feels like this Ireland team has taken us on a roller coaster ride since last September, and it's not over yet. Strap yourself in, folks. The teams are coming out onto the pitch. The head coach, Hamer Hallgrimsson, said after that dark night in the Armenian capital that he needed a miracle. Up stepped the magician, Troy Parrott, who made Hungary disappear with the longest of stretches to poke that famous goal home. It was emotional. Tonight, the boys of green must pack those emotions away as they make the last away trip of the campaign. The prize for a win is a date with destiny back home in Dublin.
As the referee blew his whistle to start the match, Ireland were immediately on the front foot. Passes were coming together, the defence was holding strong, and then just 18 minutes in, a nation was on the edge of its seat.
So, the referee has been called over to his monitor. This is massive. This could be a penalty for Ireland and the opening goal. He's given a penalty. Glenn Nyberg, the man who sent off Cristiano Ronaldo in Dublin, has just given Ireland a massive chance here to open the scoring at the Fortuna Arena in Prague. There's a bunch of Irish supporters just behind that goal. They're waving tricolours. They're supporting Troy. And Troy Carroll has scored. He's put it into the full of that side corner. And he runs straight over to the Irish supporters over that far corner. Troy Carroll, he's done it again. 6 goals in 3 matches. This is absolutely sensational stuff from a sensational player. Troy Parrott, Major Czechia nil, Republic of Ireland 1.
Pirates of Ireland, your defence is terrified. Pirates of Ireland, ooh, la-la-la-la-la.
Just for that moment, nothing else mattered. Us, along with a couple dozen other people, were willing to stand in the middle of the street, with our legs stiffening and space becoming smaller and smaller as more people crammed in to just get a glimpse of the TV mounted on the wall inside the Golden Kettle pub just off the old town square in the Czech capital. And our faith and confidence from earlier in the week had been rewarded as Ireland took the lead, a lead which doubled just moments later.
He's got his hand up in the air, takes a step up, the Galway man hits it towards the back post, it's headed back down into the six-yard area, it's an OG, it's over the line, it's a second goal, yes, yes! The referee points to his watch, he says to Ireland, he's scored the second goal, you're sealing it up in the midway to the first half, this is absolutely incredible stuff.
Better.
2-0 up, it was a dream start, and it felt like everything was starting to come together. The faith, though, took a hit near the end of the first half.
That's a good delivery towards the back post. Schultz heads it down. It's onto the chest. That looked like a drag back. It's a penalty to the Czechs. Puts his hands down by his side. Schick takes his run up, drags his butt to the edge of the top left-hand corner. PB Keller picks the ball up and throws it back to the half line, and that is a massive, massive blow for Ireland.
Time thoughts, what are you thinking?
Well, since you said about halftime, I'm kind of half thinking that they're actually quite nice. They played well. Look, they're actually all over them. They're actually playing very dynamically. Their passing is very good. They're moving it very well. And they seem to be like really pushing down for the ball, but not being stupid about overly running for it either.
How's the heart?
The heart peaked when just before we took the penalty. I was like, no, oh, please. The penalty back was not ideal, if I'm being directly honest. It was a stupid penalty to give away, especially in the position that we were in. But I'm actually hopeful. It's just because we're playing really well, you know?
Do you think we close it out?
I hope so. If they played in the second half the way they did in the first half, absolutely.
Right into the middle of the box. It comes off the head of Hurry. It was batting with Jacob Ryan. Volley from the air, young post! Jason Malumbi has just cannoned the ball off the post. It was a brilliant volleyed effort from just outside the D with the right foot at the boot. O'Brien, the big throw in towards the near post. O'Shea knocks it on. Troy Parrott! Oh my goodness, it was on target. And it's saved by the Czech goalkeeper, Kovács.
Ireland played much more defensively in the second half. Fans were still holding on to hope that the boys in green could hold on. It was all until the 86th minute.
Heads fully focused on this. The ball's whipped in towards the near post and it's into the back of the net. The Czechs have scored at the near post.
After 30 minutes of excruciating extra time, Ireland were back in a position they knew all too well.
And there we have it. The whistle has been blown. We're going to penalty kicks. It is do or die. It is. A chance to play at the World Cup on the line. First Irish player to step up and take a penalty. No surprises. It's Troy Parrott. Troy Parrott steps back, takes a step. Yes! She's nowhere near it. Adam Eda, the Swansea City man, takes a shuffle to his left. Then he hits it into the bottom corner. The referee went, the goalkeeper went the right way, I should say, diving to his left. But Adam Eda took a brilliant penalty. Stutters up to the ball and he puts it into the back of the net. That's a great penalty from Robbie Brady.
Ireland were cool, calm and collected so far from the spot. And as Czechia step up for their third penalty, Kevin Keller showed exactly why he's a fan favourite.
Well, Keller has been a hero so many times in these situations.
Ireland were finally in the driving seat. Two penalties away from a World Cup playoff final in Dublin, but then that all came crumbling down.
Azaz takes a stuttering run, hits it and he saved it! Oh, it's saved by Kovács. Down hits it, it's been saved. Oh!
Never mind. We need to save this now.
And it's all down to Quinn Kelleher now. Kelleher, star shape in the between the sticks, it's kicked into the back of the net. And Ireland are out. Absolutely devastating for the Republic of Ireland, PV Keller couldn't do anything to save that one.
Silence. Once an energetic crowd was reduced to silence. People began to disperse. 3 hours of tension waiting for that magical moment was snuffed out in seconds. Some stay out and continue the night. Many return home thinking about the night that could have been. In the Fortuna Arena, the Irish players are cheered on by the travelling support, thanking them for even getting to this chance and giving a nation hope. As the night went on, I agreed to meet up with the Irish Examiner soccer correspondent John Fallon. I needed to speak to someone. With him being at the stadium, I just needed to decompress what we'd both seen.
Did we not expect it, Ireland? Are used to heartache? You know, it's probably harder to take than previous playoff defeats because you're 2-0 up in the game. You lose a 2-goal lead. Ireland then in the penalty shootout go ahead effectively the minute Cian Kelleher saves a penalty. Certainly the advantage has been Ireland. Upsets Finazaz. Has he scored? Does he score that penalty? That means the next Czech player has to score to keep them in it. But his miss is really the crucial one. I know Alan Brown came after it, but yeah, not the way yeah, you wanted it to be, people say, but there's a lot of regrets in terms of this one really being squandered. It's really left behind because it's the World Cup. Only every 4 years. The number of European teams, even though the World Cup's increased to 48, is only 16. Previous world opponents in World Cup playoffs have been much more difficult than this Czechia team tonight. They were on the rack after 20 minutes. Like, that's a team that looked like it was managed by Kubek, who has no international experience, because the decision he made to leave out Thomas Souček was really a godsend for Ireland. And you can see the difference in the two halves. Like, he, without him, Ireland just played right through the middle of Czechia in the first half. And they had chances to score more than 2 goals. So from that respect, you go 2-0 up away from home against a team who haven't lost a competitive game at home, or any game at home, in fact, friendly or competitive, since 2022, nearly 4 years. And then not see it through is very difficult, you know. So there you go. Celebrating fans. So not for the Irish ones who are around here drowning their sorrows. So you have to sort of take a clinical, dispassionate view of this and say that a couple of moments, a couple of blemishes really cost Ireland. And the first one is the Roy Manning tug, you know, on Krejci, which was completely unnecessary. It's only 3 minutes after the second goal goes in. He's going nowhere. The ball is sort of bobbling around. He's going towards the end line. At most, he's going to hook it back and Kelleher will probably deal with it. But instead, Manning, something came over him. I don't know what it was. And he puts not only his hand on his back, but tugs his jersey. The Swedish referee is a yard away. It's a penalty. And the whole momentum just swings from there. What does Ireland have now? A couple of summer friendlies against Qatar and Canada. You're basically acting as a bridesmaid for Canada going to the World Cup, one of the co-hosts. Does this May training camp, which will bring in some of the fringe players, which will probably have benefits them for the next campaign, does the Nations League campaign, which starts in September? Obviously the two matches against Israel have brought in a lot of controversy, and that will be returned to now in terms of what the attitude of the players is. So those friendlies, Nations League, will bring you up to the end of 2026, go into 2027, and you have the Euro 2028 qualifiers. Difference with this one is that Ireland, as one of the co-hosts, have a much better chance of actually featuring at the finals, because there's two tickets reserved for one of the four co-hosts, of which Ireland are one. You'd expecting they're going to qualify, you know, cruise through their qualifying. So that means if one of Scotland or Wales qualify directly on the pitch, Ireland are automatically in. Okay, that's a long way around saying what's ahead. If you look at the team that's there tonight, okay, who's not going to be around? Seamus Coleman isn't going to be around for another World Cup campaign. It's just a case of whether he sticks around for this one. Other than that, the average age is quite promising. There's a lot of players who are coming into their prime. You know, that sort of 2019 under-21 team that Stephen Kenny had, Nathan Collins, Adamida, Troy Parrott, Darrow Shea, they're all going to be around. There's also Evan Ferguson to come back in. Okay, now, he's got his ankle injury to sort out, and you wish him all the best with that one. That has to be the priority above over any club or country commitments. So it's hard, here we are a few hours after the match, to think of that. And the fact, again, as I said, the World Cup is it's only every 4 years. But bring it back to last November, beating Portugal at home, beating Hungary away, going 2-0 up tonight in Prague against a team that have such a great home record. The downside of it is terrible mistake by Roy Manning to concede the penalty, and then awful defending 4 minutes to go to allow that Krejci equaliser, which brought on the extra time and then the lottery of penalties. So there's still in the round, there's still a lot to be positive about. It's just very hard to see that now.
It was safe to say that the flight back to Ireland was understandably more subdued than the one going over. But while the loss was agonising, the experience among the Irish contingent and the atmosphere in Prague in the lead up to the match was one that Brian, David and I will never forget.
Outside of being in the stadium, I feel like the atmosphere from that sort of angle of everyone crunched in trying to watch it. Oh. And then on top of that as well, the fact that, like, obviously there was a load of people there from Ireland, but there was so many people who just weren't from Ireland who stopped on the way and started supporting either team.
When we kind of split up for a little while, I was standing at the back and there was this fella explaining to this random dude that, like, Troy Parrott is the best player in the world. He's better than Messi and everybody. And like he was like, he got your man to just cheer on Ireland because he was like just there with the Irish people. So when the song came on, he's like, you know that, like, Troy Parrott came on the screen. He's like, that's him. He's like, oh yeah, Troy Parrott. Yeah, I know him now. So it's like, I don't know, like, the amount of people that are right just didn't speak English. They're still singing, come on, you boys agreed, is hilarious.
Yeah, it's hard to say now. Obviously, you're just heartbroken and tough. The connection we create with the fans is something we want to build on and make it a massive thing where we as a country can get better at football, we as a country as a whole can get to tournaments and be together. So that's the only thing I can take from that right now, and we have to keep doing it for them and keep playing to the best of our ability.
The connection is so important. We're very proud of our fans. We wish we could have done a little bit more for them tonight. We thank them for their support all week, really, since we came in, just the support you see on social media and the support you see there tonight. So we thank them. They'll back us again when we need them again, and we're just very disappointed for ourselves and for our fans.
Things as well back to all the support, and it's nice to give smile to the supporters who've probably been waiting too long. But this dream sadly is finished, and we just have to start working on it.
Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.